God, we just come to you in the different places and stations in our spiritual journey that we find ourselves. Meet us, O God, in this place. Help us to think about the intentions of our day. Help us, O God, to be in tune with your Spirit and meet us in this place, in all that is sacred and holy we are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Could you resonate with the questions in that song? I don't want to go through the motions. Anybody ever been there? I don't want to go one more day.
Jesus.
rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. And here's the good news, after 3 days, he'll resurrect. Boy, after hearing all that other stuff, that's really good news, right? And then he took Peter to the side, and he said, Peter, Peter, don't be so quick. Don't be so zealous. It's okay you don't have it all. It's okay you don't know all the answers. He rebukes Peter. Don't you hate it when the teacher says you're wrong? Come on. Go back to fifth grade with me just for a minute. You're all excited. You have the right answers. You're the first. You get picked on and it's, you're mortified, your life is over, you can never face your peers ever again. But what Jesus offers is a deeper reflection. Go deeper with me, Peter. Go deeper with me, friends. Jesus says, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. The concerns of who is to be honored, was reverent in their society, not like ours. We don't honor movie stars, important people. Right? Yeah. We don't stand in line for hours hoping to get Cher's autograph. Oh, this doesn't happen, right? Anybody ever done that? Jesus is inviting the disciples to grow deeper in their spiritual understanding of what they have said yes to this deeper call. If we were asked today by Jesus, who do you say I am? Think about it for a minute. What would your response be? I'm not going to ask you this time to say it out loud. I think it's just good for us to know where we are in our relationship on our spiritual journey. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said this, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What is it that is good for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this, don't you love this, adulterous and sinful generation, I'll let you work that out. Jesus is just saying, or being respectful to the world and your commitments and your covenant and that which you have said yes to. Isn't it interesting? Jesus is talking about a generation 2,000 years ago. What do we know about this to be true? It's still happening. That means we're still fully human. But Jesus is offering us some introspection how to also live into that fully divine place. That place where we get do-overs, that place where we get to grab hold of the tale of deeper learning and reshape our responses for the next time. Thomas Merton, one of the great spiritual writers, remarked and stated this, we should never underestimate our ability to deceive ourselves. Hello. Very quick for us to notice deceit amongst others. But what about the untrue? about ourselves. Take seriously Jesus' question throughout our self-serving, self-descriptions, self-deceptions, and leave us wonderfully vulnerable to the transforming, enlightening presence of the power of God. He says, whoever takes these questions with great existential seriousness will discover for her or himself exactly what the writer of the Hebrews was getting to. And when he declared, indeed the word of God is living and active, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing until it divides the soul from the spirit, joint from marrow, in its ability to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Risky business. Surfacing the thoughts and intentions of our hearts, letting the word of God, the questions of Jesus, do their work. Risky, perhaps painful. But finally, deeply inspiring and life-giving. See, I think one of the challenges is we get conceptually the good news of God's unconditional love. And we're good with that. That just means it's all going to be like daisies tripping through the fields. And yet, the daisy, every single one of them, though they may share in the same coloring and in the same flowering process, are each uniquely different, which calls for a very unique and different reflection from each of us. How challenging is it in our society when we all want to look the same, act the same, dress the same? Have you ever looked at your high school yearbook picture? Hello. Where we all looked the same in that picture.
No.
All of us don't share the same decades or years graduated, but we share that similar hairstyle. You know, you can tell what the hairstyle trends are. Right? Hello? We are impacted by sameness to the point where we overlook our differences and our uniqueness in all of who we have been called to be and called to do. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. How many of you have carried a cross in your life? What has felt like something too heavy to bear alone, too heavy to carry. Don't you love that pouring footprints in the sand?
Yes.
Where the person is just going through a terrible, difficult time, questioning Jesus, questioning, where were you? In my most desperate moments of pain and heartache and sorrow, and what does Jesus say?
I was carrying you.
I was carrying you. You see, sometimes when we look down, we think what we see are one set of footprints, our own, trudging ourselves through the sand and the heartache of our pain and our journey, when in fact, we're so caught up in that pain, we don't notice the arms that have wrapped us and pulled us close and said, I am with you. I am with you always. I am with you in this pain. Who do you say I am? I say, you are comforter. You are guide. You are friend. You are the lover of our souls. You are companion. You are Savior. Savior carrying each of us through the heartache of our difficult journeys. Who do you say that I am? Do you say that Jesus is some mystical Savior who once you get into your heart, you're done getting all you need to traverse the challenges of life? Some theologies will teach that. I say that when we live in the intimate relationship of Jesus, it informs and transforms our life and allows us to wrap ourselves around whatever we bear, whatever our cross is, and know that we do not carry it alone ever. And the beauty of this, my friends, is that it isn't just Jesus helping us. It is our community helping us carry our burdens. Amen? Have you ever been touched by this community? Have you ever been one who has touched another? Maybe even people you'll never meet. The scripture reminds us that our work begins in the place, in the answer to our question, who do you say that I am? Not ends there. Risky business, Thomas Merton says. Surfacing the thoughts and intentions of our hearts, letting the Word of God, the questions of Jesus, do their work. Risky, perhaps painful, but finally, deeply inspiring and life-giving. Continue growing, yearning, longing for that inspiring, life-giving opportunity to live connected in the deepest and greatest parts of our journey, of our relationship with God. Will you pray with me? Help us, O God, as we continue this journey. Remind us that, in fact, we do not have to go through the motions. We do not have to go one more day without your all-consuming passion wrapping us, surrounding us, living inside of us. Continue, O God, to meet us in the places of our hearts long. Bless us, fill us, carry us, and equip us to be your messengers of this good news. In Christ's name, amen.
Oh.